Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 11th and it was another volatile day with some significant moves right across asset classes. But I thought I would kick off today looking at China because I've continued to characterize China as the epicenter of risk. And the A-share index was down about 5% in here today. So that's a significant decline. It's taking it to a new reaction low, and this is a dynamic move to break downwards. Well, part of the reason that China has been underperforming this year is because of the trade war and the ratcheting up of tariffs and the potential for more tariffs to be imposed later this year. Then you also have the fact that the Chinese have been leaning on the shadow banking sector and the regional banking sector. Well, what they also did in here this week so far is to expand the number of banks that are categorized as systemically important or too big to fail. And when we look at the banking sector, it is pulling back in a dynamic manner from the region of the trend mean. In fact, it had bounced very emphatically ahead of the Mid-Autumn Festival holiday. It really did need to improve upon that performance afterwards, and that has not occurred. But this looks like a different chart than what we have with the A-share index. It's coming back towards this progression of higher reaction lows evident since the beginning of July. Well, if we're looking for any, I think, real evidence of state sponsorship for the stock market in China, then the banking sector certainly qualifies because these are all state-owned banks. They dominate the market and they're essentially arms of the government. So they don't want to have a rout in the financial sector, despite the fact that they're leaning heavily on the smaller banks. Well, by expanding the number of systemically important banks, what they're in fact telling us is that these are the banks that will not be allowed to fail. But of course, that does then raise the question that all those smaller banks might well be allowed to fail. And there are obviously questions about the shadow banking sector and the P2P lending circles that have been developing over the last decade. Well, China's leverage ratios are also at they're not just at high levels, but that they are increasingly expanding. So that is another worry about China that's quite apart from the tariffs. Now, what we need to see in order to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment and to encourage people to come back into the Chinese market would be clear state sponsorship to suggest that they're going to support the stock market. That's what we've had on previous occasions when the market has pulled back violently, and I think really until we see evidence of that, like a very clear announcement, either that we're going to see an additional bout of stimulus or fiscal stimulus or a state sponsorship of the stock market, then we're going to continue to see downward pressure. Well, we had a knock-on effect for a significant number of markets in Asia today as a result of the big pullback that we saw on Wall Street. Now, the Jakarta Composite is coming right down to the lower side of its range, but the more important point is that it has been distributing below the trend mean for the last 4 or even 5 months, and so far it hasn't been able to muster the wherewithal to push back above that 6,000 level. This does not look like a bullish chart pattern. It really does need to bounce and do so in a dynamic manner in order to demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But of course, this is in nominal terms, and the rupiah has been pushing to new lows. It's quite likely that it's probably going to require some form of stability in the currency before investors start to return to some of these markets. Well, with the hacking scandal also related to China, that is weighing on some of the other regional markets that have got factories in China. It's going to represent a cost to bring them back to their countries, but then that should also help employment. So on the one hand, it's a short-term negative, but potentially a medium to longer-term positive for countries like South Korea. But the KOSPI was down in a dynamic manner in here again today, and perhaps more important than that, again, is that we have that overhead top formation. We had the massive reaction. We had the big pullback out of the overhead range. Then it encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean, and it's now coming back towards the upper side of that underlying range that persisted between 2011 and 2016. This is a rather key area between the current level and about 2000. If it fails, that is not going to, well, at the moment it's not looking like a bullish chart pattern. I think rather the opposite, it looks like a completing top. And the Taiwanese market also pulled back below the 10,000 level in here today, and it really does need to bounce and do so in a dynamic manner. 10,000 has represented an area of resistance on multiple occasions since 1997. So, with a 20-year range, and in fact, it's longer than that if you want to go all the way back to the peak in the early 1990s. Well, this is a key level where if the market is going to find support, it would really want to be getting about it. When we zoom back in on the weekly chart, this is a very clear, massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It is a classic type 2 top formation. You have the loss of momentum, you have the failed upside breaks above 11,000, and now you're getting the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. Well, at least 50% of the time, when you get these massive reactions, you get a first step below the peak. You get a ranging consolidation or a period of right-hand extension after the big pullback, because people start to ask questions, what's really changed with regard to the fundamentals of the market? Well, in this case, we have a clear answer to that a lot of Taiwanese companies have got factories in China, and in fact employ millions of people in China, and the security of the supply chain is now back in focus. That is raising the potential they may have to repatriate their manufacturing or move it to an alternative third-party site. Now, when we look at what's going on in India, well, the Nifty was also in negative territory in here today, but interestingly, the banking sector was in positive territory. And India is not as susceptible to influence from the global economy as some of the other more export-oriented countries in the region. That doesn't mean that it's completely immune, but it does tend to be less influenced. The much more important fact with regard to India is the rupee, and it was a little steadier in here today, but certainly nothing in the way of upper dynamics to really question the dollar's dominance. Well, when then we look at what's going on in Europe and on Wall Street, I'd like to focus on the mid caps, because when we look at, for example, the second section index in Japan, it's probably the best performing of the mid-cap indices that we have globally. And even then, it has been ranging just about all of this year and has come right back to the 7,000 level, which is a potentially important potential area of support here. And so far, it has continued to bounce from this area this year, but it will need to continue to do so. But when we then look at the Russell 2000 in the US, well, it has broken down below its trend mean this week, and it hasn't really done that since 2015. And in 2015, that was a pretty substantial pullback before it started to muster support again in the beginning of 2016. Well, on previous occasions, when it's pulled back below the trend mean, it has rebounded in an emphatic manner. So, this is a rather important area where it needs to find support. But if we start to look at the commonality that we're seeing in the other mid-cap sectors, for example, if we look at the FTSE 250, which are the UK mid-caps, then we now have a lower low. This is another big reaction against the prevailing uptrend, but this hasn't been an especially consistent trend. There have been occasions when it has pulled back in a violent manner, most particularly in 2014 and 2016. So, if it can bounce again, like it has done, and we certainly have evidence of big dynamic moves on the upside following these tours below the trend mean, back in 2016 in particular, then this is likely to be a buying opportunity. But I think the risk or the least risky way of dealing with the market would be simply to wait for an upward dynamic to at least confirm that we have a short-term low. Then, when we think about the German market, which has been among the best performers in the region over the course of the last decade, well, the MDAX has broken downwards. And again, this is a very large dynamic, and it completely annuls the potential that the 25,000 area was going to hold. Well, it could rebound, and but it would have to do better than that. It would have to sustain the move above 25,000, and more particularly around above 26,000, to push back above the trend mean. And that's 2,250 points from where it is right now. So that is already approximately a 10% advance from current levels to even take it back to a position where which would logically be either the first or the second area of potential resistance. So this is a rather taut environment. Then when we look at the ASX 40 in I think it's 38 in fact. No, so I'm not doing very well remembering my tickers. So it's the 34. Well, we are getting a very similar situation here with the ASX mid caps, that they have also pulled back here in a dynamic manner. But again, this is not the first time that they've traded below the trend mean, although it is the first time in at least the last 18 months. So now the question is whether we're going to see a rally and whether the lows are going to hold. Well, we are rapidly being presented with short-term oversold conditions, and when we think about what is going on, for example, with the Nasdaq, then the Nasdaq was in positive territory for a good part of today, but then gave up the majority of that advance. Well, in fact, gave up all of the advance as we approached the last half hour of trading. Well, the bigger point is that mid-cap shares tend to be somewhat more influenced by the interest rate environment than larger cap shares. They tend to be smaller companies. They generally, if they can source capital cheaply, well, then that is used to help to fund growth. But when interest rates start to tighten again, well, then that tends to weigh on the mid-cap sector more acutely. And that is basically what we're seeing right now, that this underperformance by the mid-cap sector against a background where the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates and removing stimulus by selling down its balance sheet, well, that is starting to weigh on the mid-cap sectors, and not just in the USA, but this is a global phenomenon. So these are, I think, important developments. We need to see them. We need to see evidence that demand is returning. Now, when we look at the Nasdaq, it certainly pulling back in a dynamic manner, and it is testing the 7,000 level. Well, 7,000 was an area of resistance in January and in February, so it's logical that this should be an area where we might anticipate a pause. And the Dow Jones pulled back violently again in here today. It was down 545 points, so it was down. It's down well in excess of 1,500 points over the last couple of weeks, and now it is right in the region of the trend mean. So this is a natural area where people should begin to think about support coming back in. Well, we don't have any evidence of it just yet, but it's certainly a potential area of support. The other point, though, is that we did have a failed upside break, and the dynamic of the failure is larger than the dynamic of the breakout. So, in that type of circumstance, it is not unusual that we could see the lower side of the range tested, and the lower side of the range is at 23,500, which is another 1,500 points lower. So we need to see not only some steadying over the next few days, which I think is quite likely, but rather that it needs to hold and then improve upon that performance in order to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And the S&P 500 is in a pretty similar situation, that it's now right in the region of its trend mean. It has had this failed upside break, and there is the possibility that if it fails at this level, it could come right back down and test the lower side of the range. And that is a potential possibility here. Well, when we have one of the things that people were commenting most about this morning was the fact that treasuries and stocks had fallen on the same day yesterday, but that was not the case today. The treasury market was in positive territory. The 10-year yield is pulling back from its highs, and this does look like some consolidation is now underway around between 3 and 3.25%. So that is suggestive of at least some money moving back into bonds in a safe haven type of trade. But we're also now starting to see that gold is starting to garner interest, and it was up $28 in here today. This is an emphatic upward dynamic. It's exactly the kind of move that I think bulls will have been waiting for. It's the first clear evidence that demand is returning to dominance, and more importantly than that, it breaks the sequence of lower rally highs. So gold is now much more likely to unwind its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and that's approximately $30 from where it is right now. But it's at the lower side of this range that's been underway now for 3 years. And as long as it can hold the lower side of the range, and arguably the lower side is right in the region of the 2016 low, well, we can start to think that we're starting to return to a demand-dominated environment, at least in the short term. Silver prices also steadied in here today, and they were up 25 cents, and it's continued to hold this progression of higher reaction lows since the first couple of weeks of September. Platinum prices are leading on the upside, and they had rallied in the middle of September to trigger a midpoint danger line stop on what had been a very rhythmic downtrend from the peak that we saw in January, with a succession of ranges one below another. Well, now it has pushed up to the $850 area. When we take a look at that on a weekly basis, we can start to see now that the downtrend has been broken, that a reversion to the mean is well underway, and if it can sustain the move above 850 and push back above the trend mean, well, we're back in a demand-dominated environment, and we can start talking about a failed downside break below 800. In fact, I think we can already start to talk about that. Well, the first area of potential resistance is probably going to be the lower side of this range, which now coincides with the region of the trend mean. That's going to be an important Rubicon for the platinum price as it starts to rally back upwards. And palladium prices remain the clear outperformer within the sector, and that had also rallied over the last 4 weeks to break its sequence of lower rally highs evidence since the beginning of the year. So I think we're starting to see some evidence of demand returning to dominance in the precious metals sector, and not least because of safe haven buying. It's still a bit early to be talking about a return to demand dominance in copper, and it was down in here today, but not in a dynamic manner. So far, it has continued to hold this move above 270, and the downward bias evidence since July and June has been broken. So as long as it can hold the $2.70 area, well, then the recovery scenario, I think, can be given the benefit of the doubt. Well, when we look at what's going on in oil prices, oil has been pulling back in a dynamic manner over the last two sessions, and today it is testing the $80 area. Well, this is a key area of potential support, and most particularly if the consistency of the trend since the beginning of this year is going to remain intact. So if it's going to remain in a reasonably consistent environment, and there's no real guarantee of that, it will find support around the $80 area. The general upward bias is would likely be questioned if it sustained a move below the trend mean. I suspect that what we're going to see is some pause, that it's unlikely to give up all of the advance. But we are probably in for a somewhat more volatile environment. Now, when we look at the VIX index, well, it pushed higher again in here today, but on this occasion, it has not closed at the upper side of the range. So this is important because when we think about the VIX, its spikes in the VIX are a much better indicator of lows in the market than declines are of peaks. So if it can't sustain this advance, well, then that would begin to suggest that we're getting to a point where at least the oversold conditions have some chance of being unwound. Now, when we think about what's going on Wall Street, well, we've also just started the earnings season. And one of the bigger companies that came through with positive earnings was Delta Airlines. The airlines have been under pressure because oil prices have been rallying in a dynamic manner, and yet the earnings that Delta came through with were on the positive side. So that is beginning, at least just beginning, to suggest that this very sharp decline that we've seen over the last 2 weeks is already oversold, and that we would need to see a further deterioration in fundamentals or in the rhetoric that is coming out with regard to trade wars or what's going on in China or what's going on in Europe to see these markets start to pull back additionally. When we look at some of the larger cap shares, Apple has pulled back in here today by about $2, but it still has a lot of room in which to consolidate and still be above its trend mean. And Amazon, which pulled back pretty sharply yesterday and was down again in here today, is now approximating the region of its trend mean. Well, over the course of the last 4 years, every single time that Amazon has pulled back to the mean, it's bounced. So we're pretty close to that level right now. And this is going to be a key test of the uptrend's consistency. We certainly know that one of Amazon's key consistency characteristics is that it does accelerate. That is part of the reason people like buying it, but that it is susceptible to occasional acute bouts of volatility where it pulls back in a violent manner. And this is one of those occasions. Well, on each of those other occasions, it's bounced. So now is that the big question is whether it is going to do that on this occasion as well. Now, I've referred to Netflix and Tesla as the epicenter, as well, not the epicenter of risk, but rather the canaries in the coal mine for the high yield sector. Tesla was down, excuse me, Netflix was down again in here today. It's testing the region of the trend mean. It definitely accelerated at the beginning of this year, doubling. And then we had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. Now we're getting an example of a period of right-hand extension. It will be a top formation in no uncertain terms if it sustains a move below the trend mean, but it's already more like 75% of the way there. So this is a very key level where the share needs to demonstrate support. And by comparison, Tesla was relatively inert in here today. It was only down $4, but it is testing the lower side of this range. And that's something that's potentially an area of support. $250 has been an area of resistance back in 2016, and it's been an area of support since early 2017. So if it's going to bounce, well, then this is the area where we might anticipate that should happen. Otherwise, we're looking at a completing top formation. Well, Tencent Holdings is now accelerating lower, and we define acceleration as a trend ending. And certainly the pace of the decline has picked up over the last 2 weeks, but there's no evidence just yet that it is over. So that is the largest constituent of the emerging markets index. So the MSCI Emerging Markets is also under pressure in here, and that is weighing on sentiment. China represents a significant weighting within the emerging markets. That doesn't mean that all emerging markets need to be painted with the same brush, but considering the influence that ETF investing has on major asset classes? Well, that is a significant factor here, that we're getting some evidence of contagion selling. Well, when we look at the environment that we're presented with right now, the dollar index is still relatively steady, although it was in somewhat negative territory in here today. If we do start to see the dollar giving up some of its gains of the bond yields starting to come back down, that should act as a salve to some of the volatility that we've seen on the stock markets. But there are significant questions about the fact that the total balance sheets redenominated into US dollars of central banks are declining, that we've seen the size of the balance sheets contract by over $1 trillion in this year alone. And this is the biggest pullback that we've seen at any point in this measure's history. So that is withdrawing some of the liquidity from the markets. In addition to that, you have the USA that is raising interest rates, and that is also weighing on China, and not least because that Chinese corporations now have in the order of $450 billion in US dollar denominated debt, and the relative weakness of the renminbi, and China definitely wants a weaker currency. Well, that's something that's likely to weigh on sentiment. So we are in a more of a medium term corrective phase, and this is the big question we're going to get and have answered, I think, in the next few days, is whether this is going to be a squall in an otherwise still bullish environment, or whether we're going to have a somewhat deeper decline. So I think this is a particularly important time to be monitoring the consistency of trends. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.